Don't you forget it.
I won't.
See, you think it's going extinct. Maybe someone gets into business of manufacturing it synthetically. Maybe they grow it on the backs of frogs.
Well, I was just thinking that, you know, chicks keep shaving it, it's just naturally going to disappear.
Like, evolution-wise?
Yeah. It might.
It's possible. Like, the chicks that naturally have the genetic
Though, you know, the thing that's kind of funny about that is with all the shaving is those hairs have a lot to do with mating, which I thought was kind of funny.
Pheromones and stuff?
Pheromones. I did a research paper on pheromones. And
for your sex ed class?
For my Sociology 3 class.
Sociology 3, that's what they call it.
Yeah.
So they call the pervert class,
the pervert,
right?
Class, yeah, pretty much. Where we had the anyway.
Did you guys have to sit there and like watch pornos?
Yeah, we had to fondle each other
and not get a hard on.
Yeah, no, it was a penile strain gauge. And then there was some sort of
gauge.
What? Yeah, it's measuring the blood flow of the penis.
You use the device to measure the blood flow to your penis?
It's one way to determine arousal. And there's a similar device for a woman, except for, you know, it's the female, or it's the male. It's phallic.
You're talking about the clitoris?
Well, I think it actually measures the blood flow to the vaginal walls.
Ah. Well, it's all about blood flow.
Yeah, because a similar, physiologically similar.
You want to get an Ocard dick and keep it up the whole time.
I almost went to fucking med school. Why am I telling you?
You eat lots and lots of oatmeal and things like
that.
And
I was trying to remember what the name of the... Good for circulation. It's something...
Flax and the like.
Plamismograph or some crazy long-ass name measures the arousal of a woman.
Yeah, I see. I didn't take the pervert classes.
That's
good. I was saving all those
for the end.
Yeah,
you wouldn't want any of that anyway.
No, I don't know why I would.
Contraception.
I'd never use it.
Jesus. Wow. But, wow.
You should drink a little more, huh? Maybe it'll make you lighten up.
Lighten up?
Won't take yourself so seriously.
No, I'm getting choked up.
Oh, thinking about the vaginal walls?
No, actually, it has to do with when I slipped and had a few cigarettes the other night. And every time I do that, like the next day or the next 2 days, my body starts regurgitating all that shit.
Ooh, grody.
Yeah, all that tar and nicotine and 400 other cancer-causing chemicals.
Fungus.
Fucking fertilizer, God only knows.
A little bit.
Fungus.
Throw it in there, why not?
If it gets you high, right?
If it gets you high off your own supply...
You're not supposed to do that. Didn't you listen to the Loge? To Bobby Loge?
I did. He fucked up too, Mel.
Oh, shit. That's... And Harris Yulin? He fucked up too.
You mean the guy that plays the Dean in Animal House? That was Mel.
No, that's... you're thinking of...
I'm thinking of Mel.
Vernon.
Yeah.
You're thinking of John Vernon.
Mm-hmm.
From Outlaw Josie Wales.
I'm thinking F. Murray Abraham.
No, Harris Yulin. Harris Yulin was the cop.
Oh.
In Scarface.
That's right. I kind of remember that now.
He was also... He's been a lot of stuff, but he was the judge in Ghostbusters 2. That they called the Hammer.
Harris the Hammer.
Yep. Kind of like you were talking about Sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Shit, we could do like a whole nother 20 minutes just about that.
I don't remember hardly any. I remember the time when he shot, like the toast popped up, and he pulled out Sledgehammer, he shot it, the toast, and then like he cracked like an egg into the toast hole. That's all I remember about Sledgehammer. I remember that, and that it was like hilarious. Like the whole show was just deadpan and hilarious.
I missed the good part, then I realized I started looking.
Welcome to the Futile Podcast. If you'd like to send us an email, then you can send us an email at futilepodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to check our blog. You can see it at graniteseed.com/futilepodcast. Tonight, we are going to talk about a little Blue Thunder, rained down from the heaven by the god Thor. Blue Thunder, 1982, surprisingly enough. Pretty sophisticated for 82, all the way down to the... they were ahead of time even with the synthesizer music that we just watched in the killer full theme. You're going to want to watch it through the end, through the credits, because you get the R.I.P. for War Notes. This was his last movie. But you get the full synthesizer kick-ass... I call it kick-ass Blue Thunder theme. I don't know if that's what it's really... It's probably what it is called, I'd hope. But they called back to it pretty much any time Blue Thunder was around to do anything kick-ass.
Pretty much. You know, I think they even did a series. Briefly.
There was a television series?
Mm-hmm.
And then Airwolf came around. That was the right time for it.
And then Airwolf with Ernie Borgnine. Ernie Borgnine. Can't compete with that.
And Jan Mike.
And Jan Mike before he got told...
No, it was during. It was completely during. I've heard that there's literally... They prop him up and he'd like read the card, and it sounds hilarious. I kind of want to watch some of the old Airwolf episodes just to see.
Well,
that.
The helicopter did all the work, so
yeah. Give me chain guns, Dom. Give me Hellfire, Dom. Dom was Ernie Borgnine. He's the one that essentially activated the weapons, I guess, as per court order, I'm sure.
My favorite episode was the one where the missile. Like hit them, but it didn't explode. It was just like sticking through the floor.
Oh, and penetration.
Yeah.
Penetration without ejaculation, if you will.
Which was good for them.
Yeah, I don't remember that one. Do you remember the episode of Dukes of Hazzard where like Bo drank some like radiator water and it made him go batshit? And so like him and like Bo and Luke were like fighting. He became like bad Bo. He became like evil
Bo. Did they like use those lockback knives they always wore on their belts?
I don't think they ever did.
I was so fascinated. I so wanted a knife case on my belt because of them.
That'd make you king shit.
And, yep.
So, Blue Thunder, basically, is about a bunch of helicopter cops that get involved in this government test to check on... which essentially is a military helicopter they want to start using for controlling the populace. For pacification of riots and the like, I guess, thinking that there'd be domestic uses for such a, you know, heavily armed,
well,
heavily armored.
Obviously, somebody in there was heavily up to their neck with whatever helicopter, whether it was Bell or whatever helicopter company, I'm sure was making those, and so they had to find...
Rationale.
They needed to find a market for it.
They had to bring the
and
war.
And they didn't have a war. Yeah, they needed to bring the war home.
To bring the war at home.
You see, they had the opposite idea. Don't fight them over there. Fight them here.
Create fake sense of unrest in the barrio.
In the barrio, yeah, they were good.
Set up things so then you can flush out all the unwanteds, as they would say.
You make sure you underline. What they?
Yeah.
Because we take no responsibility.
That's right. They don't pay the taxes. They don't pay for Blue Thunder, so why should they get protected by Blue Thunder? They should feel the Blue Thunder rain down on them, apparently. That's the fascist mentality of what Roy Scheider and a young Daniel Stern are fighting against in this film. Fighting against Malcolm McDowell, who... used to be the commanding officer to Roy Scheider back in Nam, and Roy Scheider always has these flashbacks of when Malcolm McDowell pushed a guy named Ping Pong out of the helicopter. He's like, no, no. And Malcolm McDowell just pushes him out, and he's like, let's go back to base.
Because, I mean, we had this all figured out. Malcolm McDowell did what he had to because Ping Pong ate his dog.
It's very likely that we don't have the evidence of that, but we do know that later on, Roy Scheider kind of doesn't do a solid by Ping Pong's family. When the F-16s are chasing after him, and they use a heat seeker. And I remember this from when I was a kid. That was the only part of the movie I remembered. It was about helicopters, Roy Scheider, and that, oh yeah, well, the way to evade heat seekers. Like, I kept this, I filed this away. Like,
just in case.
In case I was ever going to need to avoid heat seekers in the middle of a city. It's like, go to Little Tokyo, find where the you know they're smoking the ducks and the smokestack, and then use that as a place to as a decoy for the heat, and kaboom, there you go. That you cover yourself with mud if a predator's chasing after you. Basically, I'm like, I was like, I felt pretty confident at that stage in the game back then. And Warren Oates is great in this, by the way.
Warren Oates is at his best.
He's at his best as the sort of captain of the Astro Division, which is the helicopter police.
But you know, I just there was one thing I did want to ask. You had the mud for the predator.
Mm-hmm.
The F-16s and the heat-seeking.
You get duck barbecue. Missiles,
duck barbecue. But what about Gene Simmons?
Uh huh.
With in Runaway with Tom Selleck.
In Runaway.
What would you do to get away from those?
Oh, I actually have only seen like the first 10 minutes of Runaway. I have to admit, it's a complete oversight on my part.
Oh shit!
I will cop to it right here.
That was
in
like
front
when
of the
Christy Alley was not fat.
I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was. I never thought she was that attractive.
You could still put it. You could, but you could put a bag over it, and it would still be like fun.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is, unless it's like all dry.
You'd air wolf it, I mean, you know, as like the kids say, you'd penetrate but not ejaculate, you know, you'd air wolf it,
and,
yeah.
You know, if there's like mange and...
Yeah.
But, yeah. Okay. Getting back to Blue Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, government conspiracy. One good cop fights the man, succeeds.
The military-industrial complex.
With the, the military-industrial complex. Yeah, essentially. This. Just imagine what this movie would have been if Oliver Stone had directed it.
Yeah, Dan O'Bannon co-wrote it, of Alien fame, and I think he's done a handful of pretty interesting movies.
Did
he started in the early 70s, I think, maybe the mid-70s.
Did you catch who did the score?
No, just that one synth track. Whoever it is awesome, though. Because that was awesome.
That was gobs of 80s awesomeness.
It was giant, heaping mashed potato folds.
It was radical.
It was mashed potato piles of awesome 80s
and gravy.
Synth.
And maybe even some bacon bits.
Gravy and bacon bits, you can't go wrong. That's 80s style right there.
That's some serious gluttony.
It probably added some chocolate sprinkles, some frosted colored sprinkles to it too, just to kick it up. Oh, come on. Anyway, so the key for this movie is if you like helicopters, then you like this movie. If you like
that was the reason why I liked it when I was a kid.
If you like Roy Scheider, then you like this movie. If you like Malcolm McDowell versus Roy Scheider in helicopter duel in the middle of a city. I mean, for its time, this is pretty heavy-handed.
If you like the slutty girl from American Graffiti.
Yeah.
Being a crazy single mom.
Yeah.
In a crazy world.
Digging through dumpsters at drive-ins.
Wearing crazy multicolored pants.
Multicolored
driving
pants.
The wrong way down the freeway.
She did.
With her kid in the back seat that's not even a seatbelt.
Yep, they didn't have to back in 82, man. We're rocking it.
Yeah, I wonder when kids had one car seat. I was in a car seat. I never stayed in my car seat. Mm. But I remember I had one.
I don't know. I remember car seats, though, too. I remember they're pretty demeaning.
Yeah, it was like I felt like I was being punished for something, so I
every
broke
time.
Out. I fought the man. And
yeah.
And my mom
much
told
like...
me that, you know, thank God that wasn't a law today, because they'd always find me, like, I'd climb up on the, you know, above the seat, and I'd, like, hang out there and look out the back window.
They'd find you that way? Like they couldn't tell by looking in the rearview mirror that you were goofing around?
They were watching.
Negligent parents, okay. So yeah. You were much like the Roy Scheider character fighting against the oppressiveness of the man, and your parents were much like the Malcolm McDowell and...
But what are my flashbacks?
Your flashbacks were of being in utero with you and your twin brother Ping Pong, who got flushed out too soon by Malcolm McDowell, and then he's like, "Let's go back to base."
You know, it's probably because of that that law in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois, where it's not legally required to save an aborted fetus or an undead. Actually, I don't remember how the fuck you'd say it, but never mind. Moving on.
Yeah.
I was just trying to say something for Ping Pong, but it ain't gonna go anywhere.
Nope. They did show, to their credit, this movie does have a couple good blunt force impact deaths. It's three times before they finally reveal that it's Malcolm McDowell that pushes Ping Pong out of the chopper. But on that same reveal, they also actually show, like, completion of Ping Pong hitting the ground. They show his body hit the ground.
And Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern gets just hit by that car. There's no comeuppance for that guy, is there?
He's going down.
Well, I guess so, maybe. But he's just sort of a middle lackey
federal
guy.
Federal pound me in the ass prison.
Possibly. We'll see.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Country club. I'm sure he probably has a couple favors he can call in.
Yeah, he's probably like a hiding partner, Dick Cheney or something like that.
Somebody's got to take the fall, and it ain't going to be Cheney. I still think it's a hoot.
It's fun, but it is kind of slow, and then it gets exciting. It's like the first. I remember as a kid.
You're waiting for him to steal the chopper.
You're waiting for something to happen with the chopper that's more exciting than just them spying on women.
But they did. I mean, you have to admit there were. It wasn't just waste of time. They were setting it up, and
yeah, they did some setup work. But like, I mean, honestly, Malcolm McDowell and Blue Thunder itself don't even show up till like 27 minutes into the movie. The first act kind of lags. That's all I'm saying. And then in terms of the payoff for that first act, it's not like the stuff that they much of the stuff that they do in the first act does a lot for Roy Scheider's character.
Well, they're trying to make it somewhat of a. Sort of a thriller in a way.
I think that's that, and they have to familiarize the audience with like this whole industry or this whole vocation, I guess, of you know police officers that are helicopter cops and all that
Astro
stuff.
Astro Division,
and so and then you know you got to build pathos for
and
for
they
Stern
had their hate on for the Highway Patrol
for Daniel Stern. They had to hate on the chips for a few minutes.
Yeah, and that show was like it was prime time.
I think it was.
In 82? Yeah.
You remember the one where Larry Wilcox got up on the overpass and jumped down onto the school bus?
Who the fuck's Larry? Oh, he was Officer Baker, huh?
Yeah, that's right. He was the other officer. He's the other guy. Anyway,
they switched and it almost shitified.
Anyway,
remember that?
Yeah.
And they just had Ponch and some guy who didn't give...
He saved the day, and then he was famous for like a week.
Uh-oh.
Are you okay?
Okay, I'm feeling better.
Nice.
And it's captured for posterity. Yeah. That is so awesome.
And if F-16s were chasing after you, you might want to lay one of those down. If it was enough, if you could bring the heat, then you could probably
escape.
If you could
just bring it?
Yeah. If Ping Pong's Chinese duck food factory of barbecue was not ready, then yeah, you'd be dead meat.
Well, then you just find a building that's sitting in the sun.
Exactly, absorbing that nice bit of solar radiation. I'd say like the second half is fun. The first half, in terms of like characterization and stuff, it's pretty thin.
And then there was a love story, sort of.
But it all like, I don't know. It didn't really amount to a lot, but it ended up sort of all being.
Her character was really just there to be a bad girl.
And to like help him at the last minute. You know, it was almost like. Everything served a purpose. It just didn't do much more than that. I'd give Blue Thunder like 2.5 out of 5.
I'd give it 3 stars.
Okay, out of 5. I think most people do 4 stars, so we should make sure point that we are out of 5. Dun, 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 dun.
It is a great theme.
It's good. The thing is that you remember.
Do you ever make your arms into wings
instinctively
and sing and hum the theme to yourself and fly around the house.
Dun, 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 dun. More like, when am I not doing that?
And like run into a wall and do the heads in front of your face. Oh, shit.
Yeah. You sink your teeth completely into Blue Thunder and you don't let go. It's like you're eating one of Ping Pong family's roasted barbecue ducks.
Indeed.
Indeed. I'd say we already rated it, but once again, I'm going to stick with 2.5 on this.
I'm sticking with 3. And again, it's from my childhood, and I was pretty excited when I saw it on DVD. I don't, of course, have the 5.1 version, but...
I think that would drastically improve the second half with the action sequences.
You know, I think maybe what... maybe there was one, but it was still pretty expensive.
I don't doubt
it. And I really didn't think that it mattered that much.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's just, you know, a 2.5 star kind of movie.
Right.
Not a 3.
But it's a 3.
Okay.
Well, who the hell bothers with half stars?
Booth Under were on TV.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I knew parts of it, like a good part was coming up. I'd keep it on for a few minutes and check out what was going on.
Absolutely.
That's especially mainly how
you'd
I
have to
stuff.
Keep it on. You'd have to keep it on to watch Malcolm McDowell put his hand over his face.
Yeah. Or do the see you later. What is it? What is it with the gun?
I can't do the gun point. Click where he does the click and the.
Yeah, he does the click and he says, see you later. But yeah, I was commenting to Mark as it was winding down. I'm like, boy, I hope that Malcolm McDowell does one of those 80s villain things at the end that all the 80s villains did when they were about to be like just decimated and you know, like they were in a tank that was falling off a gorge and stuff where they put their hands in front of their face like that's going to protect them.
Is that what the Nazi dude did?
In Last Crusade. He did something like that. I think he just held on and screamed. Out. Yeah, he had faith in the Fuhrer, but basically, there's a lot of those guys, and then he did, and it was great. He just covers his face as he gets decimated, and it's like, do you think that's going to do any good? I mean, even so, you're not going to have an open funeral. Did.
I was going to say in Raiders, too, I was thinking about the end where all the bad guys
melted. Yeah, some of them did, I think.
Some did, except for real bad dude's face just melted.
Yeah, face melted.
As unreal as it was, it still really creeped me out when I was a kid.
It's still creepy, the idea of a box.
Yeah, because it, you know, it doesn't look real, but it's like, who's ever seen anybody's face melt, so who really knows?
I don't know, maybe some lucky people that were in the right range at Hiroshima.
Oh, Jesus.
But, yeah, I mean, it was fun. Roy Scheider is great. I like Roy Scheider a lot. Daniel Stern is a joke, so I love seeing him get hit with a car. Malcolm McDowell's always good as a bad guy.
Pretty much. He's got some pretty weird...
He's got
the crazy look down.
He's kind of underused in this, but it might have been before anyone really knew it. I mean, this is after Clockwork Orange, but still.
The 80s was definitely Malcolm McDowell's heyday, I would say. He played a great bad guy in Tank Girl. He devised one torture that freaked me out, and it's not graphic or anything. It just really freaked me out.
In Tank Girl?
Yeah, and Lori Petty. He drops her down a tube that gets narrower and narrower until she gets stuck in the middle of this fucking tube. And, you know, can't move her legs or arms.
And just eventually asphyxiate because oxygen doesn't make it far enough down
there.
No, I
guess you die of exposure or you die of dehydration or something.
Probably, yeah.
You just couldn't move.
That's creepy. I've had dreams like
that.
That
was creepy.
Where, like, I was trying to crawl through a tube and...
Most smothering kind of dreams or claustrophobia kind of things, you wouldn't last. You know, like 6 or 7 days like you would in that fucking tube not being able to move.
That's true. That was creepy. I never saw Tank Girl, but I watched it once
when I was, I was young and I...
Inebriated?
Yeah, in a way.
Toked up?
In a way. I was young.
That's okay. That's okay. We forgive you. Jesus forgives you.
He does. He forgives all of us.
He will forgive all of you.
Even Malcolm McDowell.
I don't know if Malcolm McDowell can be forgiven. You know what the thing is that Malcolm McDowell didn't have faith in the true Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because he covered his face at the end. He didn't have faith that God would save him.
Even at the end, Colonel dude had faith in the Fuhrer.
Yeah, the Nazi SS guy like had faith in the Fuhrer, of course, but which is just about as good. But I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, gosh, what else about?
Thank God we're not running for office.
Not yet.
Jesus Christ.
I
noticed all the vehicles in the movie were GM products. So
mostly,
cool.
Yeah. What if GM was responsible for the choppers too?
Probably.
Military.
What's good for America?
What's good for America is good for GM and Toby Keith probably too.
God.
You get a boot right up your ass, Mark. You keep talking that way.
Oh,
about GM.
He's gonna wrap me in a flag and set it on fire.
I'm so sure he will. Just to demonstrate with that flag, that flag's resilient.
Somebody else needs to have like some sort of feud with him. I mean,
other than the fat cross-eyed Dixie chicks.
You have a problem with what's her name? Natalie Mange. Whatever. The other two are kind of cute.
No, one of them is the cross-eyed one. And then the other one I don't think I care about. That was how I characterized it. And I know it's not fair to make fun of the flyovers like that. But, you know, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? They're going to have to take a back seat for the next 4 years.
Yep.
Just the way it's going to go.
Yep.
We'll build our megalopolises like in Judge Dredd.
Did you do Judge Dredd? No. I saw you did Cobra. You have to do... You got to complete the series.
Well, yeah, because as everyone knows, Cobra is part
Demolition
one.
Demolition Man.
Demolition Man is part two. And yeah, Judge Dredd is part three. It's a chronological series. He's marrying
Demolition Man is the one with Sandra Bullock, right?
Yeah, it's the middle one because he's marrying Cobretti. And he's just being...
And he got frozen.
And then he gets frozen at the beginning of Demolition Man. And then, you know, he deals with the Demolition Man thing, and then the Megalopolis thing happens, and he becomes Judge Dredd, and then he deals Judge Dredd justice out, where, you know, Rob Schneider's there, Armand DeSante, let's not forget about him. Rico!
Jesus.
With the eyes, the steely blue eyes. Don't confuse him with Chaz Palminteri. So many people want to do that, and it pisses me off.
No, I know who he is.
Okay.
I haven't seen him in anything in a long time. He would get annoying too.
Well, Judge Dredd money, he's fine. He probably bought an island.
He was in Diabolique, and
you're talking about Chaz Palminteri now, right?
Yeah. Well, he was in Analyze This.
Yeah, was he in Analyze That?
You know, he might have been. I don't think he got wasted. Should have. He and that fat fucker that was, like, backstabbing Bobby.
Not cool.
Not cool. You don't do that.
Don't do that. You certainly don't do that.
And, he was in, Mulholland Drive.
Yeah.
Or was it Mulholland Falls?
Whatever. Mulholland Falls. Mulholland Drive was the David Lynch movie with the chick on chick action.
Right. That brought about what's her fuck? And she kind of disappeared again.
Emily Watts?
Yeah. Yeah.
She didn't have the nicest breasts
her name,
in that though.
Her name wasn't. It's not Emily Watts, is it?
It's Emily Watts. Emily Watts Riots. Sounds like Nicole.
Could be.
She knows you're talking about lesbian scenes in movies.
Hold on. I'm about the same. Are you going to be home for that? Okay, give me a call about the same. Okay, I'll talk to you. Because of the straight stick?
Straight stick? Don't show me your straight stick, please.